You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today we are continuing a series that we've been in for the past few weeks called Power for Life. We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How many of you ever feel like you're running on empty spiritually? Have you been there before? Like, what you have in the tank is just not enough. Like, living this Christian life is beyond your capacity. You just feel tapped out. You just feel tired. It's okay. We all feel that way at times. Some of you guys feel that way right now. And that's what this series is about. This series is about leaning into the power of the Holy Spirit because He is the source of power for our lives. You know, we live in a culture where people are obsessed with finding the power and the inspiration and the motivation that they need to live life. Isn't that true? Everybody's looking for that power source, that special thing that's going to help them make it in life. And people are turning to all kinds of different sources. For some people, it's like self-help and motivational resources. I was watching on Netflix the other day this Tony Robbins documentary. Any of you guys seen that? It's trending on Netflix right now. And, you know, as most of you know, Tony Robbins is like the world's foremost motivational speaker. And he does these big seminars. And I was watching this thing, and I have to admit to you guys, it was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. Really. It was like a junior high pep rally. People were like shaking their hands, doing jazz hands. They were playing like pumped up music. People were jumping up and down. Then they were passing the mic around the room, and people would share their problem with Tony Robbins. And he would just start like cursing at them, just like cursing the whole situation out. And I'm like, this guy is charging thousands of dollars just to curse people out at his motivational seminar. Guys, I can do that for you. I will charge you half the price. See me in the parking lot outside. I will curse you blankety blank, 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 and charge you half of what Tony Robbins charges you. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. But, you know, some people are using these resources to kind of get them hyped up. And then there are the people who, you know, every day to get ready for work and to get in the zone, they have to strap on a power suit and a power tie. They have to look at themselves in the mirror and say, you're good looking. You've got this. People like you. You can make this, right? You can do it. And then they got the headphones on and they got the inspirational hyped up music. You see them on the subway, like bobbing back and forth, like LeBron James getting ready to go play in the NBA Finals. And they're just an accountant reporting to a cubicle on Wall Street. It's like, but they're in the zone, right? They got to get pumped up. They got to find that source of inspiration. And then for some people, it's yoga and meditation and essential oils. Oh, yeah. If I can just find the right combination of essential oils that perfectly match my pH balance, and if I just effervesce every day, I can find the source that I need of inspiration and motivation to be successful in life. And then for some people, it's dieting and exercise. Hello? Like if I can just eat a plant-based, whole food, organic, non-GMO, gluten-free diet and be at the gym for like 5 hours a day, I can do this. I can be successful. I know I can make it. Right? You got friends like that on social media, and when you see them on Facebook, you just put your piece of pizza down in shame as you watch them because you know you can never be like them. And they're just like posting pictures in the gym like all the time, flexing like ripped up abs, and you're just like totally just guilted and shamed. Come on, you know who you are. Making the rest of us look bad. And then for some people, for the vast majority of us, we have found this source of courage and strength, this medication that just heals everything, that can cause all of us to function, that just inspires us. And it's this wonderful thing called coffee. Hello, Starbucks, right? Starbucks is what I need to just make it in life. I can do anything with this drink. Is there anything that this drink cannot solve? It is liquid motivation. It is liquid inspiration. It is liquid power for life. And I'm not saying all those things are bad. You know, some of those things are good. If you would eat better, if you would get some rest, if you would get motivated, that would probably be a good thing for you. But the point is that people are searching for power sources, aren't they? People are searching for things that can inspire them and motivate them because we feel this need for it, don't we? No matter where you are in your spiritual journey today, I think we all have this in common. We feel this need because sometimes we just feel run down. We feel tired emotionally, spiritually, physically. We just feel tapped out and we need some source of inspiration. And all of these different things we're trying are great, but the problem is so many of them fail to be transformational. They might even be motivational, inspirational, but they fail to be transformational. How many of you know it doesn't matter how good you eat, how many hours you spend in the gym, how pumped up and motivated you get, how many self-help books you read, not all of that's going to make you the husband or wife or the parent you want to be. You know, getting motivated and putting on a power suit is not going to help you overcome that nagging addiction that you've had for years. In fact, some of the things we do might even feed that addiction. They're not going to produce the character that we are all longing for. They're not going to help us become the person that we long to be deep down on the inside, the person that God created you and me to be. And so today I want to talk to you about that power source. It's a neglected power source. It's a power source that's flying under the radar, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to tap into the power source that God has provided for us, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us. The Holy Spirit doesn't just come alongside you and motivate you, inspire you. He came to transform you. Jesus didn't just come to save you from something. He gave his Spirit to make you into somebody, to make you into something. We're in this process of transformation, and that's what we're going to talk about today, plugging our lives into the power source, the only source that can be transformative in our lives. So if you have a Bible or a digital device, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. If you're new to the Bible, that's in the second half of the Bible, the New Testament. Just keep going past the Gospels. You'll get to the epistles, all of these letters that the Apostle Paul wrote. Find Galatians chapter 5. I'm using the NLT, New Living Translation, today. So as you find Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26, let me set this up for you today, guys. Let me set this up for you. The Apostle Paul is writing as a spiritual father to these Galatian Christians. And this is a famous letter, but throughout most of this letter, he's reminding them of the source of their spiritual life. He's reminding them it's all about Jesus. It's not about your hard work. It's not about the works of the law. It's not about all of these hoops that you have to jump through. The source of your spiritual life is Jesus. It's what he did for you. It's his work on the cross. It's the new life and new identity that you find in him. It's what you could never do for yourself, but only what Jesus could do for you. And then he turns his attention to the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26, we're going to look at it from the NLT. This is what he says. Look at verse 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul said this, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your own good intentions." Let me ask you this question. When was the last time you did something wrong and you didn't already know it was wrong? Just be honest with yourself. When's the last time you did something wrong? Maybe you blew up at somebody that you love, your spouse or somebody that you know, a family member or a friend, and you said some hurtful words to them, or you lost your temper with your kids, or you got stressed out and you indulged yourself in some self-destructive behavior. When's the last time you did that and you didn't already know it was wrong? Like, you know, you were completely ignorant that this wasn't good for you? For most of us, it's not a matter of knowing what's wrong and right. We already know what's best for us. We already know what's wrong and what's right. It's a matter of doing what's actually right, because there's this struggle that's going on inside of us. The problem is we don't do the things that we know are the best for us, even though we have good intentions. How many of you know that good intentions are not enough? As some of you forgot about Father's Day today, you know good intentions weren't enough, right? Like, I had good intentions to like send my dad a gift or send him a card or call him. I just didn't do it. I didn't get around to it. Does not work. Good intentions aren't enough. And see, there's this internal struggle on the inside of this. How many of you resonate with this scripture where Paul's talking about, you know, there are these things of our sinful nature, and they're the things of the Spirit, and they're at war with each other? Yeah, there is an internal struggle going on inside of us. It's like we're all suffering from multiple personality disorder. You know, like, which side of you is going to show up today? You're looking at yourself in the mirror, like the voices are in your head, and you want to do what's right. But there's a battle, there's a struggle going on inside of you. And in verse 17, the Apostle Paul talks about the sinful nature. And he says it's opposed to what the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit wants for you. Now, some of you say, well, what is that all about, the sinful nature? Let's talk about that for a moment. Because Christians for 2,000 years and even beyond that, the people of God have believed for generations that humanity is made in the image of God. When God created mankind, when he created humanity, he made us in his image. That means that humanity has dignity. has worth, has purpose, has value, that human life is precious. We know this to be true, don't we? Human life is precious, and Christians root that in the belief that we are made in the image of God. And that means because we're made in the image of God, we have this capacity to do wonderful things. We see it. We see it when people love each other. We see it in generosity. We see it in self-sacrifice. We see it when people do good things for each other. We need to hear more stories like this because there are good things that human beings are doing all around us. And that's because we're made in the image of God. But Christians also go on to tell the rest of the story, and that is that something went terribly wrong with this human experiment. Something went terribly wrong, and that is what we call the curse of sin. Humanity has rebelled against God. And when that happened, the image of God in us was cracked. It was tarnished. We are still image bearers, but the image of God in us got tarnished. And humanity is in this fallen state. And no matter where you are in your spiritual journey today, I don't think that's really hard for us to accept. Because as we look around, we see the evidence of this all over the place, don't we? If we're really honest with ourselves, we have tendencies inside of us. We have brokenness about us that if we're really just gut level, honest with ourselves, we really can't do anything about it. We really can't. We can't change ourselves. There are things about us that if anybody else knew, we would be devastated. And then we look at friends and family, and we see destructive choices, and we see people hurting themselves, and people doing things to harm others that just, it's just gut-wrenching, and you put on the news every day. It seems like every day these days there's like a terrorist attack or a mass shooting. Like, humanity is messed up. Come on, can we just tell the truth? Like, something is off with us. The great philosophers of the world, whether Christian or not, agree. Like, something is wrong with the human condition. And Christianity just gives language to that. We say we're made in the image of God, which means we have this capacity to do beautiful and wonderful things. But the great tragedy of life is that humanity is in this fallen condition. And our propensity and our trajectory is often towards hurtful and destructive things. Okay, so that's the bad news. But the good news is that God has not left us to ourselves in that condition. He's given us his son, Jesus. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to redeem us, to restore humanity, to get the image of God back in us. We talk about that around Christmas time, how Jesus came in flesh and blood. What was that all about? He was getting the image of God back into humanity. Are you with me? And so here's the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to come into your life and to restore the image of God in you, to begin to transform you, to renovate you, to redeem you, to restore you, to bring you back to that place where you're walking in the fullness of the image of God and to make you look like Jesus. That's the process of transformation. We call it sanctification. It's like when you first came to Christ, it's like God snapped a Polaroid picture of you. Polaroid pictures are getting popular again, aren't they, right? It's like he snapped a picture of you, and that Polaroid picture is still drying. You know, the Holy Spirit's just shaking it back and forth. Shake that Polaroid picture. He's shaking it back and forth. And you know what? You're a work in progress. When the image dries and when it settles, it doesn't come out looking like you. It comes out looking like Jesus. Isn't that cool? Because you're a work in progress. The Holy Spirit's working in you to conform you, to make you into the image of Jesus. And so we have to know that the source of our Christian life is the Holy Spirit. And you have to decide what nature you're going to live out of. Because the human nature is fallen. It's broken. It's a sinful nature. We have a propensity towards sin. I have 3 kids. I have noticed I never had to teach them how to do wrong at all. They just picked it up quite naturally by themselves. I try to blame it on my wife's side of the family. But the truth is, the reality is, they're just human beings, right? You got to teach them how to do good. They figure out how to do all the bad stuff all by themselves. That is just human nature. So you have to decide, are you going to live out of that nature? Or are you going to live out of the nature, the new nature that you've been given in Christ? And the Holy Spirit is your helper. Because how many of you have discovered that trying to do this by yourself is a little bit difficult? And so the Holy Spirit is our power source to help us live out of the new nature we've been given in Christ. And he is transformative. Now look, the Apostle Paul goes on to describe what it looks like when we live out of our sinful nature. Let's keep going. Verses 19 through 21. Listen to this. He said, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have said before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul says, these are the results. This is what it looks like when you live for you, when you live out of your sinful nature, your human broken nature. This is what it often looks like. Do any of these things sound familiar? Do we see these things going on around us? Let me read the Message version for you, because it just really brings it home. Here's the Message paraphrase, which uses very contemporary language, verses 19 through 21 from the Message. He says, it is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Ooh, listen to that for just a moment. Sinful nature is living for you all the time. That's the culture that we live in. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfying wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. Wow. This is like a repudiation on modern-day Western American culture, isn't it? I mean, it really just puts things in perspective, doesn't it? And we see this kind of stuff all the time. And if we're just honest with ourselves this morning, we see some of the stuff in us. We see some of it in us. We certainly see it in other people. It's just glaringly obvious in other people, isn't it? But if the reality is, we see it in ourselves. And it's so disappointing because we know this stuff is not fulfilling. We know this stuff is not fulfilling. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. Boy, our culture tells us all the time that's fulfilling. Cutthroat competition. All-consuming yet never satisfied wants. We got a little bit of that going on around here in Westchester, by the way, guys. You know, if I can just get my next car, my next house, live in this gated community, blah, 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 blah. People killing themselves, never satisfied. And we find ourselves going after these things, and we know they don't satisfy us, so, and they lead us to brokenness. Let me just give you a little side note here. Whenever you come across a list like this in Scripture, you need to stop and read through it prayerfully and cautiously. Because let me just tell you a little secret. That list wasn't put there for somebody else. That list was put there for you and me. So whenever I get to a list like this in Scripture, I did this week. I prayed through this, read through this carefully. I did some repenting. I did some soul searching. And so we need to do that. All right, that's the bad news. Are you depressed now? Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. I came to church today on Father's Day. I could have been playing golf, and you depressed us. Thank you very much. All right, hang in there. We're going to get to the good news, okay? So Paul then goes on to show us what it looks like when we live out of our new nature. So that's when we live out of the human, broken, flawed, fallen nature. This is what it looks like when we embrace the power of the Holy Spirit and we begin to live out of the new nature that we have in Christ. Look at verses 22 through 26. He says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Not that other junk. This is the good stuff. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. How many of you could use some more of those things in your life? Love and joy and peace. Absolutely. Look at verse 24. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the what? By the Spirit, let us follow the who? The Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. That's our power source. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So Paul shows us what it looks like to live a life plugged into the power source of the Holy Spirit, to live out of our new nature, to embrace the work of the Spirit in our lives. And it looks like love, and it looks like joy, and it looks like peace and patience and kindness. And these are all of the things that people want, aren't they? Think about it. Who doesn't want these things? Who do you know, no matter what they are? Secular, atheist, Muslim, Hindu, Christian, Orthodox, whatever. Everybody wants these things. This is what we all have in common. If you're here today and somebody invited you and you're not even sure what Christians believe, there's one thing we have in common. We all want love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Come on, you know the Beatles. Love, joy, peace. These are the things that we're striving for. And yet we're looking for these things in other places and we hit dead ends, broken, unsatisfied. You know, it's like this is the fruit of the Spirit, right? It's like we plant a tree in the ground that can never give us that kind of fruit. It's this decrepit, funky, nasty tree. And we expect it to give us this fruit, and it doesn't because it doesn't even produce that kind of fruit. You got to plant a healthy tree in the ground to get the kind of fruit you want. You can't plant a thorn bush and expect to have apples in the fall. And that's what we do. We just plant weeds and all kind of just trash stuff, you know, thorn bushes, and we get thorns, and we wonder why. So we've got to lean into the help of the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to picture this, since we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the results of the work of the Spirit in our lives, okay? We're going to get a little agricultural here. I know we're city people, but I want you to picture an urban, overgrown, run-down garden or park that's been neglected. We got a few of those around here in the New York City metro area, don't we? I want you to picture something like that, overgrown, trashed, and polluted. All the good flowers are choked out. In fact, this is a picture of the High Line back before it was reclaimed. How many of you guys like the High Line? It's one of my favorite spots in New York City. I love to take a stroll on the High Line, just get above it all. It's like this oasis in an urban jungle. And that's a picture from the New York Times back before the High Line project got underway, just this neglected elevated rail with all kind of weeds and stuff growing up there. And so I want you to picture that. I want you to picture your life like that, like an urban park that's overrun with like weeds and thorns, and there's nothing that can be produced that's healthy because it's all been choked out. What would you have to do to reclaim that space? What would you have to do? You have to roll up your sleeves. You'd have to pull some weeds out, wouldn't you? You'd have to plant some new, like, good plants that you actually want. You'd have to, like, water, you know, seed, water, fertilize, prune, take care of those things, right? You'd have to get all the other stuff that's choking out life so you could embrace and see something new and beautiful like this other picture. That's the before. Here's the after. Isn't that amazing, that same space? That same space that was reclaimed on the High Line there? A few years ago, when I was pastoring in Western New York up in Buffalo, our church got very involved in a special project. Any of you guys used to watch the show Extreme Home Makeover Edition? They used to come on ABC. Well, they came to Buffalo, and they were doing this house on the west side of Buffalo in a neighborhood that was pretty run down. And our church got involved in it. In fact, before ABC had their website up locally to recruit volunteers, our church became like Volunteer Central. We had like 50,000 hits on our website. And so we got behind this thing. We said, hey, we want to help out. But, you know, if you know the show, they go in and they fix up one house, and they make it beautiful and amazing for some deserving family. And our church had been doing work in the inner city of Buffalo for years. We said, listen, you can come in ABC and do one house, but we're going to transform a whole neighborhood because this is what we do. We're going to raise money. We're going to raise volunteers. We're going to get behind this, and we're going to side houses, put new roofs on houses. We're going to clean up trash. We're going to paint. We're going to help elderly people. So we just adopted this whole block, this whole neighborhood. And one of the things we did was we reclaimed some parks that were overgrown, that were neglected. We got in there, we took out the trash, and we pulled all the weeds, and we took out all the stuff that had overgrown, and we planted new, healthy, beautiful, flowering plants, and just reclaimed that whole space. And here's what I want to tell you. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is what the Holy Spirit is setting about to do. When you're in Christ, when you place your trust in Jesus, you were drawn to him by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit begins to work in your life. He gets into your heart, and he starts pulling out some weeds. He starts pulling out some stuff that's overgrown, that's choking out the life, and he starts planting some new seeds, and he starts watering those seeds and fertilizing those seeds and caring after those seeds so that something can grow inside of you that eventually produces fruit, the kind of character that you always wish you had so you can become the kind of person that God always wanted you to be. And those things are the fruit of the Spirit. It's the results in the work of the Spirit. Are you following me this morning? That's what this Christian life is about. That's what this Christian life is about. Some people think, oh, these little namby-pamby Christians, they're just all about being nice and going to heaven one day. No, this is about the here and the now. This is about the work of the Spirit doing something in you that you could never do for yourself. You are a restoration project under work right now. You are a masterpiece under construction. You are in the process of redemption, one of my favorite words. You're in the process of restoration. Come on, you are a work of art. Just turn to somebody and say, I am a work of art. Come on, just say it all cocky like you mean it. I'm a work of art. You better just look at me and just admire me because I'm just glowing. You are under construction. If you've got some blemishes, if you've got some cracks, if you've got some things that you're not so proud of, if you've got a few weeds in your garden, I'm here to tell you, you're okay because you're a work in progress. God is with you. He's working in you, and you are a work in progress. Every one of us here, I'm a work in progress. You're a work in progress. The person next to you is a work in progress. Nobody is perfect. No perfect people need apply to this church, okay? No perfect people need apply. If you're here and you're perfect, you are in the wrong church because all these people, they are messed up. I'm telling you, I pastor them. I know their stories. You're a work in progress. The Holy Spirit is working in you to produce fruit. That's what he does in our lives. Look at verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Every part of our lives. Holy Spirit, lead us. Holy Spirit, guide us. We're leaning into the help of the Spirit. I'm not going to tackle any part of my life without the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to compartmentalize my life. I'm not going to have my spiritual life and my emotional life and my physical life and my work life and my social life. No. Holy Spirit, we're inviting you into this whole thing. We don't just need you on Sunday. We need you to show up tomorrow morning. Monday morning when we get up to get ready for our commute, Holy Spirit, I'm inviting you into my day because I cannot do this without you, because on my own, I plant weeds. I plant thorn bushes. I plant stuff that just overgrows and takes over everything and just messes stuff up. But I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to plant something in me that produces the kind of fruit that I've always longed for deep down on the inside, to make me that kind of person. All right, I'm going to give you an illustration. Pastor Jim's coming to help me in just a moment, but here's a branch that I cut down. I was doing a little work at my house in the garden, and this is a branch that I cut down from some trees that are overgrown in a garden behind my house. Now, if I were to tell you that I'm expecting this branch right here to yield some beautiful fruit this fall, you would think I was crazy, right? You would say, Pastor Jim, you need to get back on your meds because that thing is not going to produce anything. I want Pastor Jim to hold that for us, okay? Why? Because that branch is not plugged into a life-giving source, right? It's disconnected from the trunk. It's disconnected from the roots that can bring nutrients and water and all the things that that branch needs to produce life. And see, a lot of people, they want to change. A lot of people want to change, so they get all jacked up and excited and motivated. They decide they're going to change like from the outside in. They're going to change their circumstances. They're going to get motivated, and they're going to change their bad habits and the self-destructive things that they've been doing. But they want to change from the outside. They're going to change from the outside. They're going to start setting goals, and they're going to start really trying really hard. And maybe they're going to even ask God to show up and change all the circumstances. God, if you would just change all of these people, I can make it. If you would just change my spouse, he's the problem, she's the problem. If you would just change my kids, they're the problem. If you would just change my boss and my coworkers and my neighbors, if you'll start working on all of them, God, me and you, we got this. And how does God work? God doesn't work that way. Nope. He wants to work in you. We want him to change the circumstances, but he wants to work on the inside of you. And so here's the problem, okay? When we set about to change our lives, we want to do it from the outside in. And it's kind of like this. I got some duct tape here. It's Father's Day. We're feeling manly, so I brought some duct tape with me. My chest is swelling right now. And it's like, here's an apple right here, a nice green apple. It's like taking some duct tape, okay, and saying, okay, yeah, I'm going to change from the outside. I'm going to get all motivated and excited, and I'm going to be a person of love and joy and peace this year. I'm going to do some yoga and some meditation. I'm going to listen to some Tony Robbins, motivational stuff. I'm going to start putting my headphones on and listen to the Eye of the Tiger, like Rocky, every day, and just start getting all jacked up. I'm going to look at myself in the mirror every day and say, you're good looking, you're successful, you're motivated, and gosh darn it, people like me. Oh, yeah. I'm going to try really hard this year. I'm going to get inspired. I'm going to find the right mix of essential oils. I'm going to update my dating profile on eHarmony.com and find the perfect person. And in between all that, I'm praying that God's going to change all of these people in my life who are holding me back. Okay? Can't nothing hold me back because God's got my back. But this is what, here's the problem. We are changing from the outside, and we're doing this all the time. It's like duct taping fruit onto this lifeless branch. It's just ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, look at this, people. Somebody take a picture of this and put this on Facebook. This looks ridiculous, right? But this is what we do. We try to change from the outside. I'm going to have more self-control. I'm going to have more peace. I'm going to have more patience. And I'm going to implement this self-help guide. And I'm going to try really hard. And I'm going to motivate myself every day. And it's like we're trying to duct tape fruit onto a lifeless branch. I'm smiling. Go ahead, Tim. Get our picture. Thank you, Jim. Give it up for my amazing assistant, Pastor Jim. So we're trying to change from the outside, but that's not how God works. God works on the inside of us. God wants to bring about eternal change. God primarily works through internal change. I want you to put that in your notes this morning. See, something happens if this lifeless branch here gets connected to a life-giving source, right? If this branch is connected to a tree that's rooted, that's planted, that has healthy roots, that is absorbing nutrients and water, something happens, coming out of winter into spring. The sap, the lifeblood of that plant shoots into this stem, and it comes alive, and a little bud comes out, and eventually it grows into a twig, twig or a branch, and it can develop into something that eventually produces fruit. Do you see the difference? What happens when the life source is on the inside of this branch? And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. The change occurs from the inside out. It's not about you duct taping more stuff onto your life. And listen to me, I don't want to stand up here as your pastor and week after week duct tape more stuff onto your life. Just practice these principles. Just do this. Just do that. Just read this book. Listen, we need some principles based on the Word of God. Don't get me wrong. But I want you to have an experience with the Holy Spirit so that you become different from the inside out. I want to plug you into the power source. I'm telling you, I'm not the power source. I'm here to teach you the Word of God. Preach the Word of God. Love on you. We have life groups where you can get plugged in. We have things that we're going to do. We're going to come alongside of you. We're here to encourage you. But I want you to plug into the power source for yourself and learn to lean into the help of the Holy Spirit. And so how do we do that? Let me just give you three postures that we can embrace. These aren't even three things you have to do, but three postures that we have to embrace. Spiritual postures, attitudes. How we spiritually position ourselves to receive the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Here's the first one. It's very simple, and I want you to write these things down or put it in your phone, whatever. Number one is be open. Everybody say open. Be open. Just be open. Be open to the Spirit's leading. This whole series, we've been saying that for some of you, the very first step is just a step of faith. Just to even believe, like the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, that sounds a little bit out there for you. You're not quite sure how that works every day. Like, what does this have to do? The Holy Spirit in my life on a daily basis, like Pastor Jeremy, I'm just trying to pay my bills. I'm just trying to get through work. I'm just trying to survive. I'm trying to make it. Listen, my first thing I want to ask you to position yourself, posture yourself, because what you're doing is not working anyway. Might as well try something else. Would you be open to the Holy Spirit? For some of you, I just want to pray that God's going to give you faith, that the faith level in this room say, God, help me to even have faith for this. Like, it's hard for me to even believe this. So sometimes you just have to ask God for the faith. That's okay. You don't even have to ask, like, God, you know, you don't have to claim all kind of amazing, astounding promises. Sometimes it starts with, God, just help me to be open to this, that your Holy Spirit could actually show up in my life. For some of you, that's right where you're at. Just got to be open. Number two, be aware. Everybody say aware. Be aware of the daily situations where you need the help of the Holy Spirit. Be aware. See, sometimes we marginalize the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's like the crazy uncle who shows up at the party. We don't quite know what to do with him, right? Like, just keep him in the other room because, you know, because the Holy Spirit might show up and do something embarrassing. Some of y'all come from church cultures where you saw a lot of that. We're not quite sure what to do with the Holy Spirit because that's mystical. That's weird. The Holy Spirit may come into my day and, you know, a light may shine from heaven and a choir of angels might start singing. And if that happens at work, I might lose my job. No. See, here's the thing. You got to be aware how the Holy Spirit wants to show up in your life every day. This is about life. This is about being the kind of person you want to be. This is about being the kind of spouse you want to be, the kind of parent you want to be, the kind of son, daughter, friend you want to be. This is about living a different life, a quality of life that we all long for. This is about satisfaction and fulfillment that goes beyond the mediocre everyday stuff that we're all trying. And so, Holy Spirit, help me to be aware of how you want to show up in my life on a daily basis, because sometimes he's right there. We're just not tuned into him. Help us to be aware, God. And here's the third thing. Be dependent. Say dependent. Be open. Be aware. Be dependent. That you cannot do this on sheer willpower. Sheer willpower and determination. And see, that's really hard for some of us. That's really hard for some of us who are really driven, self-determined people. Because for many of you, you've gotten this far in life because you were determined. Because you were disciplined, because you worked hard, because you achieved what you achieved. You clawed, you scratched, you hustled, you grinded to get where you are. And respect to you today. We have respect for that. That's good. Work hard. Do what you got to do. But the problem is that can work against us when it comes to the things of God sometimes. Because it's really not about your work. It's really not about your will. It's not about your determination. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we have to cooperate with God's grace, okay? The gospel isn't Jesus did everything. I don't have to do nothing. Sometimes we just get spiritually lazy like that. But I'm talking about a dependency. Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, I can't overcome that thing that I've been trying to overcome for years. Holy Spirit, I can't forgive that person who cut me so deep. Every time I see them, I hate their guts. But I need you, God, to do something in me that only you can do. God, I have tried to be the parent you want me to be. I've tried to be the spouse you want me to be. I've tried to be the coworker that I need to be. I've tried to, whatever it is. And Lord, I've just realized I've come to the end of my rope and I have to get away from my own self-determination. I have to lean into your help. Holy Spirit, help me to be dependent upon you. I'm telling you, if you will begin to posture yourself with openness, awareness, and dependency on him, you're going to get tapped into the power source. It's going to be like your branch is getting grafted into that life-giving tree, and the power and life of the Spirit's begin to flow into your life. I'm telling you, I've seen it for myself. I've seen it for myself where the Holy Spirit has done things in me that I could never do for myself. And so I want to pray for you this morning as we come to the close of this message. The worship team's coming back in just a moment. We're going to sing a final song, respond in worship. But here's what I want you to know today. If you are in Christ, the scripture says you're a new creation. You've been given a new nature. You're living out of a different power source. You're a different person, and the Holy Spirit is at work in you. He wants to work in you. He wants to restore you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to make you into the person that God knows you can be. He wants to do something in your life. He wants to get into your life and to begin to renovate things. He wants to come into your overgrown garden and clean some things up, pluck some weeds out, get rid of some trash, and plant something new and beautiful that bears fruit in your life. And here's what it looks like. It looks like love and joy and peace and goodness and self-control. How many of you could use some self-control? That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. And so let me ask you this. Can you just have a really honest moment with yourself? What kind of fruit are you bearing in your life? Because, see, I took some time to read both of those lists this week. And there's some things that, you know, I needed to repent for. Because there was some fruit in some categories where I didn't want it. And I wanted some more fruit in this list and I didn't have it. And we just need to take spiritual stock of our gardens today, of our lives. We need to look at ourselves and say, God, this is the kind of person I want to be. Because deep down on the inside, I think there's one thing we all have in common. This is the kind of person we want to be. People filled with love. People filled with peace, lasting peace. People filled with goodness. That's the kind of fruit that we want in our lives. And as I prayed for you this week, I actually wrote some things down in my journal because I sensed the Spirit leading me to tell you, I can't do this for you. As your pastor, I can't do this for you. I can help you. I can guide you. But at the end of the day, I can only lead you to the source, the Holy Spirit. You have to learn to walk with him and be filled with him daily. You can't depend on me, but you can depend on him. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to cheer you on. I'm going to love you. I'm going to tell you you can do it. I will pray for you. I will be your biggest cheerleader. You know me. I'll hug you. I'll say, you got this. You can do this. Take the step of faith. I'll be alongside of you dancing. You can do it. I'm with you. But I'm telling you, I've got to help you. I've got to lead you to the source, the Holy Spirit. And you've got to come to a place where you can daily depend on him. You've got to develop a relationship with him. You've got to invite him into your life. You've got to say, God, come and do on the inside of me what I haven't been able to do for myself. You've got to learn to be filled with the Spirit, to be plugged into the power source, to allow him to come into your life. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit can do that for you. Why don't you stand with me? I want to pray for you this morning. And it just starts with a simple prayer today, a prayer of dependence, a prayer of openness, a prayer of awareness. And that's what we're going to pray today. Would you pray with me? I want you just to pray with me today, and you can just echo my prayer, however it applies to you, whatever God's speaking to you. Here's what I love about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will meet you right where you are. He will meet you. What you need is different than what somebody else in this room needs. The Holy Spirit is personal. He's a person of the Trinity. We talked about that last week. He will show up in your life. He will meet you right where you are in your time of need, with whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're facing. He's personal. He's going to show up. And so we're just going to invite him into our situation, into our lives. Would you pray with me? So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit. And, God, first of all, today, we repent from relying on ourselves. God, we're sorry that we trusted in ourselves and we let some weeds and some thorns and some things get overgrown. And today, God, we're turning away from those things. And so, first of all, we invite you, God. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come in and pluck some things out of our lives. Come on, some of you right now, you have some things you know you need to let go of. Maybe you just need to name that thing. God, I'm letting go of this. I'm letting go of bitterness. I'm letting go of anger. I'm letting go of lust. I'm letting go of whatever, whoever I need to forgive, whatever it is I need to do, whatever that addictive habit is today, God, I am releasing it. And Holy Spirit, I'm inviting you into my life. I'm embracing your work in my life. And I'm saying, Holy Spirit, come and do in me what only you can do. Come and do in me what only you can do. Come and produce the fruit that you want to produce in my life. Come and help me to live out of the new nature. Remind me of who I am in Jesus. Remind me of who you called me to be. Remind me of the new nature you gave me. Lord, today we don't want to believe any lies that we're the person that we used to be. No, I thank you, God, that we're something new. We're something new. We are works of art under construction. We're works in progress. God, you are making us into something, and we're not going to settle for who we used to be. But Holy Spirit, we're embracing your power and your work in our lives, and we're believing to see beautiful things begin to grow in us. We're believing to see beautiful things begin to take root and bud and grow. And so may our lives be filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, God, so that people can see your fruit in our lives. Father, do it for every person in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.